actually kind of had like a funny little thing to say, but after that, I don't think I'll say it. But it's interesting because it does seem to fall in line with what I'm kind of talk about. I'm kind of doing a survey. I bought these glasses yesterday, and I asked the girl, yeah, go ahead. I'm getting old, so I need these when I read and stuff. And I asked the girl if these were men's or women's, or and she goes, they look really good. And it's like, you know, but are they girl glasses? And she goes, well, I don't know. So what I'm asking is, do these look like girl glasses? Okay. Because I told her that if they were, I was taking them back and I was getting after them. Okay. I was telling Doug, and this is something I haven't shared a lot, that as important as that is for women and everything, they tend to forget that there's a guy involved too. Excuse me. It affects the guy too, and because a lot of times the guy's not even informed of anything, and he has no say in the matter and all that. So I would even say if you're a guy and something like this has happened, you know, I'm pretty sure there's organizations out there even for the guys too. So. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. I can't do that. Okay. Okay. Well, since we have had a little levity, I'll go ahead and do this. It's springtime, and I was hoping the sun be shining today, but it's not. Anyway, but the sun's shining and it's warmer out and the birds are singing, flowers are blooming, and the trees and the leaves, and the blossoms on the trees are awesome, isn't it? Apparently not. Well, that's all right, but they still look good. I know people like that. They look okay, but they smell bad. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. I try not to talk real loud just because I kind of have that odd voice. It's not a pleasant sounding voice. Just to see it in. I can't do that. Okay. I'm old school, so you have to use your Bibles when I teach. Because I can't figure out how to use a computer. So, and there's Bibles all over the place. If you don't have one, go ahead and grab one. And we will be in John 11. But the point I was making, though, about being springtime and everything is like, this is, I got on here, it's the perfect time to talk about death. Because we're actually going to talk about resurrection, but you can't have a resurrection unless you die. So, all right, we're going to read in John 11. We're going to be reading through 37. So there's a lot of Bible reading today. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. And Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So when he told them, he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you what you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and trouble. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, cannot he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus asked Martha if she believes. That one section there in 25. And my question to you is, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And do you believe he is the resurrection, that he is the life? That if you believe in him, that you will live even though you die? And I ask that both spiritually and physically. That was rhetorical, but that's fine. Thanks, Eric. But let's talk about Jesus' reaction to the death of Lazarus, and everyone's reaction to him dying. I'll read this again. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? Come and see. And Jesus wept. Now, the research I have done on this, it says that he was deeply moved and troubled in spirit, that it should be translated as angry, that Jesus was actually angry, as in being mad, being irate. And then he also cries. And I've always wondered why exactly Jesus got mad and why he was crying when he knew that he was going to bring Lazarus back to life. Do you guys have any ideas why he got mad? So far we have plenty of time, so I'm actually going to ask some questions. I didn't hear what you said over there. Okay. Okay. Okay, because I've asked a few people over the years this, and one explanation I got, and even one that I saw online, was that it just shows the humanity of Jesus, that, you know, he was just your regular kind of guy that, you know, I mean, we get upset if somebody we love dies. We don't think it's right. You know, we get kind of mad about that, and we cry about it. And it just basically, it just shows that Jesus was an actual human being with normal emotions and everything. The other one that I heard, and I think Brandon will love this one, was that he was crying because he knew Jesus was in heaven, and that he had to bring him back to earth and take him away from all that. Which, that sounds kind of nice, but I'm thinking that if that's actually the case, then Jesus isn't like a very good friend, because if he's already someplace better, why would you bring him back? Okay. Here's what I believe is the deal, is I think that Jesus got angry and sad just because death has to happen. Oh, I gotta leave these on. I can't. I can't see you, but I can't see this. Death was never intended to be part of creation, let alone anything that, with humanity. I think as a society, though, that we've pretty much somewhat come immune to and desensitized to violence and death. I mean, we see it on the news all the time. Everything the news talks about is always, you know, like about the wars going on, and it's never about how to do something about so death and violence doesn't happen. It's just basically it's like the shock value of it all. And I think we sometimes forget just what a precious, beautiful gift life is. When I was teaching the youth group, my youth group in the old church years back, they all loved all the shows like the Saw movies and all the violent, ultra-violent movies and stuff like that. And it's just, I just find it's very, and I'll admit, when I was younger, I loved those shows too. I saw every Friday the 13th movie, anything like that, I thought was just really cool. But as I've come to know Jesus more, and understanding is that death and violence is not ever, it's not something that should be glorified or something that should be used as entertainment. Because if you think about it, if it wasn't for sin, there would be no death. And the only reason why, because death was brought into the world by sin. So basically, if you think violence is cool and you like watching it and you get entertained by it, you're like kind of embracing the whole idea of sin and everything, because it only exists because of that. I don't have cable and satellite dish and all that kind of stuff, so I have to watch whatever's on TV. And so I occasionally watch a lot of PBS, because they'll have their version of what religious Christian stuff is. And but anyway, but I've actually heard sociologists and scientists and philosophers and stuff like, and people like that say that death is a normal, natural thing that we actually should embrace, that because it's just a part of what life is. And so we shouldn't have any qualms with it. We should just, you know, which means that people like Tony and I know your name. What's your name? Judy. That apparently you guys are weird because, you know, you didn't just die, because you're supposed to embrace your death. It's a good thing. Go ahead and show that picture. This is a picture that was taken, I think it was in Time Magazine or Life Magazine. It's been a few years back. But it's a picture, and this little girl here is on her way to try to get some food. I forget, a couple miles down the road or something, there was a place where the food was. And this guy took a picture of this because that vulture is just sitting there waiting for that little girl to die so it can eat her. And you know, in the idea of thinking that death is normal and natural and good, I kind of think they don't think of this picture, because I'm pretty sure that little girl doesn't think death is a cool, natural thing. The story goes, if I remember correctly, it's been a while since I read about it, but the guy who took the picture actually committed suicide shortly after that, because he was so upset over the picture, because he doesn't know if the little girl ever made it or anything, because he basically took the picture and went home and just left her where she was. But anyway, I'm thankful to God that I don't have to live by the philosophy that death is a cool thing that I need to embrace. That we actually have a hope through Christ, that our existence is more than just a few short years on this earth. If you would now turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Are we there? Okay, we're going to start at verse 12 and just read through verse 20. But if it is preached that Christ has died, that Christ has raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Then he goes on to say, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And also on the same public broadcasting system, I have also seen priests and theologians and other Christians say that the resurrection of Jesus is just, it's symbolic of the church. That Jesus just lives through us by the things we do and that kind of stuff. Not that he literally is alive. And there is, in fact, some truth to that. You know, we do, you know, we are Christ here and everything. But Paul's talking here, unless I don't know English at all. Paul is saying here that without a doubt that he believed that Jesus actually physically, literally was resurrected. And that the resurrection of Jesus is proof that we will all one day be resurrected. And I would even go on to say that the resurrection of Christ is proof of the restoration of creation. It's basically, you could call it kind of like a universal resurrection. But if Christ has not been raised from the dead, our preaching, teaching is useless, futile, so is our faith. So basically what Paul is saying here is that if Christ was not resurrected, our faith in Jesus is basically stupid. Because the whole reason why we can trust Christ with our lives and with our souls and with everything we have is because he conquered death. That's the one thing that makes Jesus different than every other religion, God thing out there that there is, because we can trust that he actually did conquer death. Because without Christ's resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sin. Paul says that right there about you're still in your sin if the resurrection did not occur. There's no hope of any kind of eternal existence. And the whole mentality of living for the kingdom is really, it's just silly. Everything that we teach here about kingdom living and the concepts of loving your neighbor, forgiving those who betray you, loving your enemies, being peacemakers, standing for the oppressed, believing in social justice, having morals, all those things or the last few things I said, they may still be a good philosophy and be beneficial to society, but the belief in Jesus and the practice of his teachings are not a mere philosophy. Okay? Here's my definition of what it is. It's the teachings of Jesus and the belief in him is a life-changing belief that there is something bigger than myself and a greater purpose than myself, but I only get this through the power of his Holy Spirit. And Paul even says in Philippians or one of those, says about the power of the resurrection of Christ, that Paul wants to know the power of his resurrection. And we do these things, you know, we stand for social justice and we love our enemies and we forgive people who hurt us and everything, not because they're just a good idea, but they are a reflection of the grace that God has shown us through Christ. I mean, there's plenty of people out there who are very nice people and they love everybody and they do all what would be considered the right things. And unbeknownst to them, they may be showing grace and reflecting that. But we know consciously that when we do these things, it's not just because it's right, it's because we understand, or at least we are learning to understand what it means to understand grace. That our way, that what we do to other people is a reflection of how we view the grace that God has given us. Does that make any sense? You guys are awfully quiet. Okay, because learning to understand grace changes our hearts, our minds, and our thinking process. So it's also a spiritual resurrection. The belief in the resurrection of Christ is so important that Paul says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And I will go ahead and I'll let you study scripture, I'll let you seek God and everything else to what it means to be saved. I have my opinion, and I think my opinion's right. If it wasn't, I'd get a different one. But the whole thing is that regardless what that term means, scripture tells us that it's mandatory that you have to believe in the resurrection of Christ. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there, I think, believe in the crucifixion of Christ and all that kind of stuff like that, and about the shedding of his blood. But it is foundational, and Paul says that it's mandatory that you have to believe that Christ was resurrected. You agree with that? That's what that says? Okay. That's not rhetorical. Which one? But professing with your mouth, know it? That is Romans 9:10 or 10:9. Okay, so here's the part you guys can kind of jump in. What are some, I totally believe that God has created everything where we can see glimpses of resurrection and just everyday normal life. Okay, and I'll give you a second to think about this, but what are some things that we can tell people to, I don't know, not to convince them, but just to kind of, at least getting something to think about, that this whole resurrection thing is true. Because there are people who just simply believe that, you know, you have your 60, 70, 80 years here and you're dead and that's it. You know, that's basically all there is to it. So what are some like just everyday things that we could use to show that resurrection is real? Or have you even thought about stuff like this? I'm also implying, though, too, that, which not that you're wrong or anything, but something that's not biblical, because you're, people who don't believe in the Bible are seldom convinced by the Bible. And I say this from a guy who at one time heard, had Bible verses thrown at him left and right. It's like, yay. So, you know, if you don't believe it, then why are you trying to convince me with something I don't believe? So. Exactly what I'm talking about. Yep, I'm going to talk about that actually here in a minute, but this is exactly what I'm talking about. Southern Baptists are okay. Well, I've always taught that, because I've always heard it preached that, you know, do you know that you know that you know that you can know, and it's like, I come to the conclusion, it's like what Paul says, you just have to choose to believe that Christ was raised from the dead. He said that he knew at least 500 people who had witnesses and stuff like that, who saw it and everything, but it really just comes down to, what do you choose to believe is truth? And that's why a lot of times, you know, you can't use the Bible. Well, you can use the Bible, but you can't let people know you're using the Bible when you talk to them, because they just see it as a book as opposed to being God's word and everything like that. But if you ask me, I tell people that's like, I've lived two different lives and everything, and I just chose that this life is better, and I believe that what it says I believe that I need a Savior. I believe I need a Lord to guide me and teach me how to live and everything like that. And that, because I've proven to myself countless times that if I try to live my life my way, I do a really, really bad job of it. And it's really just that simple. And it's in. But anyway. Yeah, it's just choosing to believe that what he says is true, and you believe what he says. I have, though. Yeah, I actually have four thoughts here, and that was kind of mine, but, yeah. Well, because from what, like Brandon just said, just the idea of death just doesn't seem right. I mean, no, I don't think any of us sit there and think that. I mean, we have come to accept the reality of it, that everything lives for so long and it dies, but it just doesn't seem logical, especially the way, you know, like, what do you call them? Scientists and stuff who believe that this just like a, what do you call that? Yeah, evolution. Why would something create itself and evolve just to die? Why would it not sustain forever? I think of things like, that doesn't make some of you sad. Think of like wounded animals. If you've seen like, which you probably have, like animals attacking another animal or something, and because they're trying to eat it, they're chasing their prey. It's not like the prey just goes, "Oh, it's my time," so he lays down. They just start chewing on him. You know, it even knows that it's not supposed to die. That, and a lot of this isn't about maybe so much about resurrection, but just the idea too that death is not normal. Okay. Right. 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 Yeah. Right. I was hoping Alex would be here, but he's not. But I think even things like the ability for doctors and people like that to resuscitate someone who basically is dead and then resuscitate him. And maybe there's like all sorts of medical explanations and blah, 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 but I've always kind of just wondered if that was God's way of showing Another truth I got here. Yeah, maybe God gives us knowledge and capabilities to bring people back from the brink of death as a foreshadow of our resurrection. Because you would think if death is final, then death is final. But okay, the one that I've always kind of went by is just the seasons. We kind of talked about this a few months ago on Thursday night house church. But I see summer as like the prime of life, when most of the plants have already, they're matured and they're alive and everything is vibrant and strong and the days are really long and there's lots of sunshine and everything. And autumn is like life slowly coming to an end. It's still beautiful and there's still hints of summer and signs of it, but the days are starting to get shorter and they're colder and you can see the onset of winter coming. And obviously winter would be death, because trees are bare, nothing is growing, most plant life that is still even hanging around is all brown and decaying, falling apart. And it's cold and it's darker more than it's light. But here's an interesting thought, and I'm not telling you that this is whatever, this is just an interesting thought, okay? Trees don't actually die, right? They just kind of go dormant during the winter. They basically fall asleep. Well, twice in 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking about believers who have died. He refers to them as they have fallen asleep. And even Jesus said that Lazarus had fallen asleep and he was going to wake him up. And he's talking about his death. I just wonder if there's like a connection between that. And of course, spring is like resurrection, because everything that seemed dead is alive again, and there's new life everywhere. And I find it interesting too that most people are like, they get really excited when they know spring is coming. There's like this expectation that things are going to get better. They're going to be able to do more things. It's going to be more fun. Life's going to be more enjoyable. There really is like this sense of hope that comes with the spring. And like I said, that once everything that looked dead is now full of life again, it's real, it's visible, and it's really alive. And I'd like to think for those of us who believe in a resurrection, that is what the resurrection is all about, both the spiritual resurrection and our own physical resurrection to come. That we believe that it is real, that it will be visible, and it'll be life as the way it's meant to be. And as I was writing this last night and kind of going over it, it really hit me how people just get so excited about spring. And everybody talks about what they're going to do and how much life's going to be better and everything. And I don't know. I don't know if God made the seasons for that reason. But, I mean, I guess if you want to see things through whatever lens you want to see things, that's how it is. But that's how I see it. But it's getting close to Easter. So, you know, Doug's going to be talking in a couple of weeks. I think you are talking Easter, right? About Jesus' resurrection, and I hope I didn't like walk all over anything he wanted to say, but this has just been something that's for the last, well, it's been the last couple of years or so, but just really the last few months too, because the resurrection seems to only be talked about during April, and according to what Paul says, it's vital to believe in it, that you have to believe that Jesus really did, was raised from the dead. He was a dead guy, and he was dead as dead could be, and it's a big deal. I mean, every one of us in here can be whipped half to death and stuck to a cross and die. We can all do that, but I don't think any of us can, like, 3 days later, because we want to, just get up and be okay. And that's the beauty of Christ, is that he, and like Brandon said, death is just one of these things that, you know, we've minimalized it. We make movies about it, about how cool it is to kill people. It's on TV shows and all that kind of stuff like that. And death is awful. It's not a cool thing. It was never meant to be. It should affect us. I mean, we see that picture of that little girl, that bird wanting to eat her. That should just like tear our guts out. And I was reading on Yahoo News the other day about Apple's got what $9.8 billion they don't have to do with. And it's like, how about making sure that doesn't happen again? Because for $9.8 million, you can make sure that doesn't happen again. But I don't want to sound too macabre about the whole death thing and everything. But it's just realizing though that because of Christ that death is not final, that there is more, and I don't know, I'm talking too much now, but anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for your Son. I thank you for the love and the grace that you give to each one of us. I'm so grateful, Lord, that I know as I get older, I think a little bit more about my mortality and everything, but just knowing that whatever this thing that we're doing now, this life that we're living, that it ultimately is not the end, that because of you, that there is more, and not even that there's more, there's better coming, and I ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for the times that we have hate in our heart, because you talked about how even hating someone is basically the same thing as murder, because it's the intentions and just our feelings towards other people. And I know I still occasionally run across that, and I just thank you, Lord, that you're still working on me and changing my attitude and my heart about those things. I just thank you, Lord, for the hope of knowing that there's more and there's better, and that the day is coming soon where I'll be completely encompassed by your love and your presence, and this world to be a better place, and you will truly reign over everything, and that hate will be gone, death will be gone, sadness will be gone. I just can't wait, Lord. Again, there's someone here, Lord, who like struggles with this whole thing. I just pray that they, maybe I said something that at least give them something to think about. Maybe make them reconsider this whole thing about you. I know I can testify that the past 12 years of living for you and following you have been the best 12 years that I've ever lived, and even when things are not going the way that I think they should, and things aren't right, what I think is right or whatever, it's I'm just so grateful to know that you're still there, and that you're sad right along with me. That when I hurt, you hurt with me, and that you're not so far removed from me that you cannot identify with me. And the Lord, I do. I just thank you for the fact knowing that there's more to come and better to come. And I ask all this and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we'll just go ahead and we'll just stop. She was going to have communion, but it's getting kind of late, so. But anyway, thanks there for everybody for listening and participating. And there's a lot of new people here. It's the second time I've taught, and there's always a lot of new people when I teach. So please come back when real teachers are here.